listening to Zeroes on Heroes with Mike Mercadal and Will Watkins.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Zeroes on Heroes again. Look who it is. With me.
Oh, no.
I know. It's me, Mike Mercadal. And with me, as always.
Not always.
Will what? No, always in my heart, Will. Oh. Always in my heart. This is new and unusual for anyone who's like returning. We love you for being subscribers, and we enjoy that you're still subscribed after all these many years of hiatus and absence. But
yeah, I subscribed a while ago, so this is,
yeah, I mean,
you know, you got more. I'm trying to still, like, I'm not used to the like the video.
The
aspect.
Visual element is new for like, any new people. Welcome. This is a kind of a trial and test to see what's up with this, because. A little history. This is the Zeroes on Heroes podcast feed and channel and YouTube and all that stuff, which is a thing that Will and I started, I want to say in 2014 or 15, like almost 10 years ago.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And yeah. It sucks to have aged, but that's kind of what this show is about, foreshadowing. We were both aspiring comedians in New York City. I'm now in Los Angeles, still doing comedy. Will is refocused, and he's been doing tons of stuff regarding fitness, and he's been really taking care of his health. And he's been such an inspirational figure to me that during the pandemic, I think that's something that I think we bonded over subconsciously. That we both had this element of fitness and health struggles and all these things in our lives and physical appearance and all these things that everybody talks about now. But during the pandemic got extra heightened.
And yeah, it was weird. And it's like, I feel like I got healthier during a pandemic. Like, it's weird to be like, people like, oh, I got Corona. And I was like, I got abs. Like,
yeah, you totally.
It's weird.
It's amazing what stress will do to like motivation and things like that. Like so historically this show has been you and I, we were doing comedy, having our comedy buddies come on here and talk about their heroes. Right. Mm-hmm. And throughout the process, we ended up with a live show at the Creek in the Cave, and we had people come on and talk about how they could be heroic. And part of it was all of this the whole point of the channel was to, be heroic in every aspect of your life.
Yeah. Right? Aspiration and inspiration. Yeah.
Yes. And one of the things that in the last few years and now just very recently that has motivated us to come back to this, or me to come back to like start, like I want to be, you know, sharing information, is that I just want to talk about how to improve our lives and then kind of really like kind of laser focused down in the different aspects, and then there'll just be different shows under Zeroes on Heroes.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
will be, you know, like this is the first one, because in our lives we've both either had fitness foisted upon us mm-hmm. at a young age, or the idea of fitness and what that does to your body issues, image, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It comes in later in life, and I don't think people talk about how like powerful that is for young men and anyone in general, but we are specifically men who have been young at some point, and the impact it had on us. So we're just going to talk for a little bit about like our own kind of journeys, what we're talking about now. I think we figured out that we're going to come up with like different sections. You know, there's information, there's affirmation, there's education, there's confirmation, refutation, like- some myth busting. And then also like communication.
Yeah.
So like we want everyone, if you're watching this right now, jump on the comments and share your thoughts on what we're talking about, your fitness journeys, and we'll talk about how we have found our ways through things. But first we should probably talk about like where our first, like acknowledgement and recognition of physical fitness and like other like the idea of working out entered into our lives.
Well, first of all, before we get into that, I think we need to point out how I look like I'm living in a New York City studio apartment and you are in Cybertron.
I am in Cybertron.
You look like you're from the old TV show Reboot.
I look, my fitness goals are to look like a late 90s CGI character. So please, let's not yuck anybody's yum on here. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's keep it neat.
It looks like if they made Max's Diner from Saved by the Bell into an anime. I feel like that's the background.
You know what? My apartment here in LA is the least conducive for lighting for podcasting. Real, you know what I mean? Like, this is kind of a mess, but we're doing what we can with what we have, and is that the story of our lives?
Like, you were literally like, hey, we should hop on a little early and, you know, we'll chit chat before the stream. And I was like, sure. And then I was like, oh, the lighting in here is terrible. It's like closing blinds. I was like, I turned off the spotlight behind me. I had one of those like a photo light rings set up behind the thing. And it was just like washed me out. And I'm like, oh my God.
What's happening?
And I was like, oh,
I
wish I was in Reboot.
Well, look, I can send you this graphic. You can add it to the background. But yeah, well, right. So we should talk about our approaches, because you know what? I'm going to rewind a little bit. The show we're going to label it. It's going to be what it's over there in the corner. Just Trying to Look Like You, because I also think that gym culture has gotten a bad rap, and this is the positivity thing I was talking about before to bring it back around. There's a positivity in gym culture, and there's a positivity in physical fitness that I think often gets overlooked or got a bad rap at a certain point in our lives. And now some of the most positive people in our lives are people at the gym or people working out. Like working out to improve yourself feels like a very supportive thing. Yeah. And I always played team sports. Like, team sports was always a very supportive thing. As competitive as it can be, it always feels it. So Just Trying to Look Like You is something that we want to focus on, that it's the positivity of all of this improving on anything you're doing to improve your life. We want to hear about it and talk about it and what we're doing for our lives. So also we got comments, and if you want to share, look, this is Mom Koji. This is a friend of, if you're a Woobro listener, that's Yolanda.
But, hey Yolanda.
Yeah. So first of all, let's talk about like where fitness entered into our lives a little bit, because this is going to be kind of like we're not authorities on much, but we are authorities on ourselves. We have been with us the whole time.
Yeah, there's literally like sports scientists and people have YouTube channels, and they have PhDs and degrees, and I'm like, I got a $20 black card to Planet Fitness.
Hey, no joke. We're going to talk about those people's too, those channels and those people and those, you know, videos and all that stuff, because hey man, this is just a show where we're using use the tools you have. We have tools that we share with each other, and we'll talk about that a little later. We'll talk about that. But
yeah,
so
you were athletic when you were a kid, right?
Yes. Against my will. Well, here's the thing. When you're a fat kid, JV football coaches are just drawn to you like flies to honey. Like, nobody talks about how predatory junior varsity football coaches are looking for thick-thighed young men. And it is something that, like, realistically, we can talk about the negatives of it, but like, it changed my life the second someone was like, would you like to play football? It's like someone offering me drugs. And I played soccer as a kid.
They were giving value in your life. They were like,
yes.
You're no longer just the chubby loser. Now it was like, oh man, I could use this guy. This guy is great at what his potential could be.
It's one of those things that you don't realize. I'm assuming it's like kind of like when you start at a martial arts school, or someone sees you like I was also raised in the church, and when you're like lifting those chairs to help us set up the chairs in church, and then everyone's like, oh, you're such a strong boy, and you're like, oh, look at this, look at how powerful I feel. I'm gonna carry so many chairs, you know, like there's little things. I think I can't equate it one-to-one, but I imagine it's similar to when people tell little girls how pretty they are and look how cute your hair is and all these things. Those are the first kind of affirmations you get as a child, of like your physical self being acceptable.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Did you know that the reason why Jesus was so ripped on the cross is because he carried all those chairs?
That's exactly why Jesus was so strong.
He set up so many tables for donuts and bagel after service.
Yeah, they do the post service lunch luncheon where they ask you for money again at some. Yeah. Every stage is how many tithes can I tithe? Really?
I feel like I think that's goes along with the thing of like how gym culture has become more positive is because back in the day, masculinity was either John Wayne and then it transitioned into Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then. It slowly became less hyper masculine. Like masculinity used to be like, you know, look at like John Wayne or like even like Steve Reeves from the old Superman. Like they weren't in shape.
Yes.
They had beer bellies. Adam West had a gut in his Batman suit. And it was like, you know, John Wayne was not a physically fit dude.
Yeah. He was just at some like point. Bravado. At some point, it's shifted from being a manly man being a performative thing versus to like a visual, like a body thing, like a visual thing where like if you looked at some of the people, like even somebody, people that we think of as like super masculine from our childhoods, you know, watching movies like Rambo, height was never was like these just like are large physically imposing men, but once you start shifting to Hollywood and you start having like movies be like representation, it can be manipulated. It got manipulated to such a degree, like it was like John Wayne, you know, was this big man with a gun, in real life kind of a piece, not kind of a total piece but like every movie that progressively, like as you look at masculinity through movies, eventually you just have like dudes that are as shredded can be. Nobody talks about the damage they're doing to their bodies through dehydration and all that stuff to look that way, but they're like on camera shredded. Only recently has like Henry Cavill come out and talked about how hard it is. And Chris Evans have come out and talked about like how crazy hard it is to like prepare for camera ready abs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which I think it's like one of these pendulum swings of like expectation and acceptance of like, you're expected to be like these monster ripped dudes only because we grew up in the 80s, 90s of like action movie heyday, you know, like Jean-Claude Van Damme's of it all.
There's this weird transition too, where it was like, you saw like Arnold Schwarzenegger or like Stallone. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that's superhero physique. And like, now we think of superhero physique as like, you know, the Chris Evans and all that stuff. But back then it was like, that's an unattainable, nobody is going to look like that if they work out. And then, slowly over time it became like, this is what you have to look like to be an attractive man. It's like I feel like the big turning point for like us millennial dudes was MTV's Real World Road Rules Challenge, where it was like all the dudes took off their shirts and they all had the ripped abs and they had the 6% body fat and blah, blah blah, and it's like it was like, okay, that's more attainable than the Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that's what I feel like, that's because like for the longest time, obviously, like women have had the brunt of like, this is what you're supposed to look like. Whereas like, whereas men were like, this is how you're supposed to act. And it was like the most toxic masculinity bullshit. But then towards like the early 2000s, I feel like is when it was like men have to look a certain way. And then there was like the metrosexual, you have to pluck your eyebrows and blah, blah, blah. And it all started forming into nowadays. It's like modern men are treated how women have been treated throughout all of human history.
Objectification of a person. So it's interesting because there's like this whole I call it the Maxim magazine era, where if I told a Gen Z kid right now what FHM and Maxim magazine were, they'd be like, what? But for a time, it was literally like Playboy magazine was like when I was a kid or younger and like before my time. But like Playboy magazines were like where you would see naked, you know, like the ability to see women in like the nude or semi-nude was like taboo and all this stuff. But now it just exists in your phone. Like you never have to question whether or not you can see it. But it used to be like this thing. And then that led to this kind of self-objectification of like guys suddenly being like, well, I have to be performative. Like I can no longer just act manly. I have to look manly. I have to do all these things. I have to take the steroids, you know, like, and it's I think it, like for me, my first exposure to it was through athletics, where like you there was some behavior or some physical action that had to be achieved in some way, mm-hmm. and you were always striving to be, you know, the best at it, because that's where the superhero physiques were, the NFL wide receivers that were leaping for catches, the basketball players that were like, again, unattainable physiques, because I can't shoot. I can't. There's no muscle in my body that no exercise I can do that can make me taller.
Make me
more. You know, like you can improve agility skills and stuff, but your bones are your bones. You know, like, and that was always, well, as a big boned child, that was always what I was told, was that you got big. You know, your bones are the reason that you're this way.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, I can't work out my bones, so what do you want me to do? You know. But yeah, through athletics. So it's like this kind of dichotomy, this duality of like physical fitness through these achievable like exercises of goals, like these physical actions. Mm-hmm. And also the movies were like, being physically fit made you heroic in some way, like yeah. being Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I think at some point it pivoted from Arnold Schwarzenegger to more of like a sports fit body
yeah.
as like the goal.
But it's interesting too, because like you did a lot of sports and I didn't, and I have a lot of issues with conflict. I have a fear of conflict, and I'm working on that with my therapist. But I feel like a lot of that is like when you do sports, is it's very much like, you ever see like any of those Marine movies, Full Metal Jacket, whatever? Sure. They're like, they're teaching you to be a killer. They want you to be as aggressive as possible. And when you're on a football team and you literally have to give each other head concussions, like they're teaching you to be as aggressive as possible, to be as manly as possible, to be physically
aggression,
assertive. Yeah. Whereas I was like, yeah, I'm going to read these comic books. I even wonder if that's a thing where it's like a lot of my, I was more into the comic book physical fitness of, you know, what they were. Obviously, especially during the 90s and 2000s, they were hyper physically fit and stuff. But I was more like reading about their heroic acts and stuff as opposed to smashing into somebody else. And I remember when I was in like high school, and I always fluctuated up and down. I was a fat and super skinny, fat, super skinny. But towards the end of high school, I was taking this weightlifting class to fulfill a science course, which was so weird.
Wow.
Because it was like, It somehow weightlifting counted as part of an anatomy course or something like that. So I took that. And that was my first introduction to weightlifting, true into that. But my weightlifting coach was like, hey, could you get on the wrestling team? Because you're tall and lanky and you're very strong for what you look like for your weight. And I was like, yeah, that sounds terrible. I don't want to fight people. I'm a high schooler. I shouldn't be fighting people.
Yeah, but it's like, that's a tricky.
That would have helped me, you know, probably in life to learn to be more aggressive.
There's a balance to like I talk about it with my wife sometimes about like it just comes up where we talk about the spectrum of everything, or everything is on a spectrum of some kind. Everything, there's a scale of like, yeah, you could be the most physic or something along the lines of like. When you obsess over things like I have to get this done and I have to get this done. And at a certain point it's to the detriment of other things in your life. That's too far.
Yeah. Right?
If there needs to be like that seesaw of where if I put too much effort, too much, it starts to tip and then stuff starts sliding off. If I start pushing this way, stuff starts sliding off. So it's like the whole idea of balance becomes just a series of putting everything on this seesaw of where like, okay, am I hurting myself by training too much? When I was playing high school football, I was obsessed with in high school. That became my life, you know, like, because that was the thing that gave me the most validation. Cause I went to a not so great school. It was a religious school. It was very small. There was not a lot of the social dynamics were kind of built in because it was so small. Like you just had to know everybody. There was a lack of like resources for other activities like computers or, you know, driver's ed. So like sports became the only thing I could focus on where I'm like, I'm receiving praise
for this.
That and music to a certain extent, but that was a different thing. That was just, you know, trying to assuage what I now know is adult ADHD is like gifted kid syndrome, where you're just like, my brain is on fire. And they're like, here, do some word puzzles. And you're okay. And then you just carry that through the rest of your life. But the idea of like athletics being something that external validation came from, not, oh, I feel better and I feel strong, you know, like, you know, I feel my body, like so much about what we learn about physical fitness is influenced in the worst ways by when you're a child.
Yeah.
Because nobody teaches nobody really explained to me why this thing can hurt you. What, you know, my high school football coach was telling me to drink beer and eat bananas to recover from soreness so that we could work out again tomorrow. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because that's what it was back then, you know, like he learned that from some other dork, some other moron who learned it from some military drill instructor, is probably a raging alcoholic, you know, who probably learned it because that's also for a lot of older men, the source of their physical fitness journey was in the military or some sort of like paramilitary thing where boot camp became this thing where you just got yelled at until you were fit enough to meet some requirement. So it's like none of it felt self-motivated is what I'm saying. It's all this external motivation.
Yeah, I feel like that's as far as like self-praise and stuff. That's one of the reasons why I do like weightlifting and stuff, because it's like I'll achieve a goal and I go, it's like, oh, I did that. It's like, I don't need anybody else to clap for me. It's like, I added, you know, 5 pounds onto this. I added 10 pounds onto this. You know, my chest is bigger. My shoulder is bigger. Now, like, I'm not fitting into these shirts or whatever it is. It's like, there is that validation that I give myself where it's like I no longer need that validation from other people.
And then here comes the spectrum swing, because then you start obsessing over your either strength or your appearance as a benefit from what these things do, because then you can start obsessing over a PR to the like a personal, you know, getting that extra 5 pounds to the point of injury or wanting to have a specific thing that your muscles are literally attached to your tendons. You don't get the kind of cut because some other person with different genetics in a picture is what you want, but you're like, I can't have it. So now you're straining to meet some physical appearance requirement that you've set for yourself that's too much. So, and in essence, like when you're talking about like how to do all this stuff positively or all that stuff, there's all of that is balanced by the doing as much good for yourself before you hurt yourself kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you can always equate weightlifting or exercise in general to like therapy and stuff, where it's like if you practice like radical acceptance, not only for your own mental and psychological needs, but also like your physical capabilities, where it's like, I accept this is what my body is capable of. You know, you can look at, for instance, like LeBron James has probably the greatest shoulders of any athlete. His like cap delts are ridiculous. And it's like, I know
they look like pauldrons. They look like genuine, you know, like that's armor was created to like mimic the muscle structures to protect your bones. It was like a shield over that. So he looks like he has pauldrons.
Yeah. And it's like, I know I will probably never get to that level. Not even probably. I will never have shoulders like LeBron James, but I can say I'm going to strengthen my shoulders as best I can. But I can use him as like inspiration.
Yes, right. For inspiration for like an adapted version of that for yourself, like the best version of that, like the best version of you can be.
Yeah.
Also includes knowing your limitations and, knowing where the cost benefit analysis is, or like, you know, like where the, what is it? The law of diminishing returns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, yeah. You know, like, if I am in the desert and I'm thirsty, oh my God, whatever. The, no matter how much I drink afterwards, that first thing of water will be the best one. Right, because of no matter how many, like if they give me a Coca-Cola, like a delicious Coca-Cola, I'm so hot, I'm so sweaty, I'm dying in the desert. If they give me a Coke and I drink it, and as it does that initial kind of path through my body and mind, that whole, you know, every part of the experience will be so heightened that the second one will be great, But then after a while, it's just, you, at a certain point, you're just like, no, 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 thank you. Right. Yeah. Like I'm done receiving the, what can be a, like what motivated me initially in the first place for this kind of thing.
I would, instead of water, I would say pancakes.
Yes, of course.
Where it's like the very first, you're like, geez, I forgot how good pancakes are. And then like halfway through, you're like, I'm such a fat piece of shit.
Look yeah, at you're me. Like, I regret this.
This isn't even real maple syrup. It's just corn syrup that's flavored like maple. And I'm just, could I get extra? Could I get more? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to have to, where it's like, and then your body physically feels bad. Like, you're like, I need a nap after pancakes. Like, I could be waking up raring to face the day as somebody hands me a stack of pancakes. And I'm like, can we pencil a nap in? This is too much. but let's talk about also, you know, just as like a journal of things, what are you doing now and where are you in your path that you feel you are in terms of like your physical fitness and your mental health? Like where, what are you doing and where are you going?
Right now I recently changed it up. And I should have changed it up a little earlier. That kind of goes along with what you were talking about before, where, you got to know your limitations and whatnot, where, I have a chronic tendonitis in my right shoulder, trying to get those LeBron caps, but, yep. Those pauldrons, but really it came from like bench pressing mostly is where I would injure myself in my right shoulder. And, I recently was like, you know what? I got to stop doing the, going for the PRs. And I got to stop lifting heavy. Got to stop doing the 3-5 rep range. And I'm going to go more of a 12 to 15, or even sometimes I'll go up to 20 or 30, just lower the weight increasingly just to get the pump. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm never going to try to get a max on the bench again, probably ever. And it's almost like that, you've seen that meme go around where it's like, you know, at one point you're in your childhood, you stopped playing with all your best friends and you never didn't realize it was the last time. And it's like,
right.
That's like me with my max bench press where I was like, I hit that 340 one time and I'm never going to, I'm never going to top that. I will never, it's like, if I did it now, it'd probably be like 280 or whatever it is. It's like so decreased, but it's like, yeah.
But are you healthier now than you were with the max PR?
I would say so. Yeah, I would. Because it's like, I mean, healthier, I mean, probably the same health level, strength-wise.
But I think mentally, like, right. But what I'm talking about is the damage you were doing to your shoulder is part of health. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so if you're walking around with constant injuries, which I think when you are a gym person or you're a fitness person, an athlete, someone who uses their body, even like blue-collar workers just walk around at this constant state of injury, and they don't think of injury as part of their health. But that to me has become, I'll preface this by saying a year and a half ago, I herniated two discs in my lower back to the point where like, I couldn't feel my toes. I was like, I had like limited mobility. I was like, oh, I really fucked up my nerves. And to that extent, it's like, what is the benefit of not including injury in your health? Right. Like if you're talking about mental health, any trauma you've received is part of that. So why isn't that included in part of, as part of the physical? Why isn't physical fitness, which I think is a thing that you have to seek out a little more, or like for me, as now that I'm older, I'm more conscious of it, of like, so we'll get to what I'm doing, what you recommended for me. But like there's a specific exercise that I'm like, well, I can't do it that way, so I have to find another way to prevent the why isn't that also part of like the desired goals for physical fitness is to prevent injury, you I know, or to protect from injury?
That's one of those things where I feel like the older you get, the wiser you are. For instance, I'm not going for those PRs anymore. So it's like you do have to work smarter, not harder kind of thing, where it's like even like for my shoulder with my training, instead of doing like a regular barbell bench press, I kind of stopped going for that as much. And I'm doing more of a dumbbell bench press. I'll incorporate more dumbbells into it because you get the better range of motion, movement. And you can also, you know, it's not uneven with a lot of times with an actual straight bar bench press. It's like you might be lifting more with your right than your left, or it could be your shoulders are out of alignment. You're not flat against the bench. But it's like when you have the dumbbells, it's like everything's moving at the same time. You don't have to worry about one lifting heavier than the other.
Right. So you compensate.
Yeah. So you know exactly my left side is as strong as my right. So on and so forth. But yeah. But
the injury. So also we've received this comment, and I desperately want to know the answer to this question because it is also important. Boshy Paul, random. Have either of you ever given or gotten a wedgie? What's the story? This is very important to the concept of masculinity because I think at a certain point in both of our lives, we have been bullied.
Oh, yeah.
So bullying is such an important part of a boy's like development that I think the wedgie has become like also classic. What a classic bullying maneuver. But also, I think when you're of a certain mindset of like growing up, we're both large kids. Like I'm 6'4", Will 6'2", 6'3"?
6'3", yeah.
And we, you know, like, I always equated myself to I'm a Mikey. My name is Mike. I am also a Mikey from Recess.
Yeah.
The show Recess. Remember, there was a show where Mikey was this just giant kid that everybody kind of was afraid of, but he was like the softest boy. And meanwhile, I was like, you know, of a similar ilk, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I also hated, I detested bullying. I hated the kind of the people who would give a wedgie. But I would also defend myself in bullying ways because I was capable. Like just because I wasn't a bully didn't mean that I couldn't bully the bullies. You know what I'm saying? Like that was always a thing. I have in fact given what I would call defensive wedgies in defense.
If man, you are Florida as fuck with the stand your ground wedgie.
I had a full stand your ground wedgie.
Your Honor, I felt threatened.
Yeah. Bullies hate to be the recipient of bullying behavior, and nothing gives me more joy than to bully bullies. Nothing. But that being said, that doesn't necessarily bring positive results. It just brings that momentary feel good of the self-defense feels good when it's successful. You know, I don't think people talk about that much where it's like a bully beatdown isn't going to make the situation any better. But for that moment, you're like, the fucking cathartic release of the energies that have built up over time.
Yeah, like, that's
to one be of the things noted.
That's one of the things, like I talked about my fear of conflict and stuff. That's one of the things only in the past couple of years I've actually been able to do is to push back against people who were doing the bullying kind of thing to me. Like when I was a kid, very similar. Tall, I look like Mikey. I look like a very taller version of Life with Louie.
Right.
And it was very pudgy. But here's the opposite side of that is if people know you're not going to push back and you're a gentle giant, they will go after you because they say, I took down that 6 foot guy.
Bro. I say bro because I'm from Miami.
The gender neutral bro.
The gender neutral bro. The universal pronoun. That every fight in my life, every aggressor in my life has been shorter than me.
Oh yeah.
And I'm trying to prove a point. Like there's just no two ways about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the only time I've ever like pushed back, was when probably the older I got, maybe going to like high school or even after high school, like when I was like working in a kitchen and that, you know, kitchens get hot and heated and people yell at each other and stuff. And everybody, like, I remember one time, everybody thought I was the nicest guy and, you know, oh, it was so sweet and everything. I got into it with this guy to the point where they had to, like, pull us apart, throw me into a cooler to literally cool down. And after that, they were, like, people were scared of me because it was, like, it's that, like, nerd rage that builds up. And then when you, like, hit it, it, like, blows up. And I think that goes into like masculinity and modern masculinity and gym culture and stuff now where it's like we didn't have an outlet unless it was yelling, unless it was, you know,
the some only sort time of physical. Aggressive behavior, this kind of toxic, you know, it's never positive. It's never like we've resolved our problems and we'll never deal with them again through violence. You know, like it's never that.
Because for the longest time, like masculinity for especially for our generation was either there was one of two things. You were either the nicest guy or you're a complete toxic asshole. You're either like Max Tucker or Paul Rudd. Like there was no in between those two people. So it's like now that a lot of the dudes nowadays are getting into therapy, they're like, oh, I know how to express my emotions and I know how to tell people my feelings. You know, if you're, you know, a Republican, probably not, but you know, but for many dudes nowadays, like we understand, we can, you know, discuss our feelings.
I have emotions I'm afraid of. You know whose fault that is? Disenfranchised minorities. It's like, what? What are you talking about? Are you sad? Just be sad. You're allowed to be sad. You know, like it's okay. You don't have to be such a monster to other people. But I think that's also learned behavior, generational trauma. More. I don't know. You know. So, Boshy Paul, thank you. In short, Mike gave defensive wedgies and Will was given them by short kids.
Yeah, they had to get step ladders. They had to, you know, they had to jump on each other's shoulders like three kids in a trench coat, pulling it up. Yeah,
the three kids in trench coat. Swirlies and noogies were also big. I should also mention, I am a little brother. I have an older brother. And the first bullies you'll ever have in your life and your first kind of like is the brother meant like the big brother, older brother kind of struggle. I was like almost to a cliche degree,
you know,
like so. And he only stopped bullying me when I fought back one day and I had that nerd rage.
Yeah.
And I like punched him in the ear and he got knocked out. And my dad was like, not even mad at me. He had been warning my brother, like, leave him alone. He's going to hit you. Leave him alone. And I did, and then he just kind of went to my brother and was like, see, I told you, he was going to hit you. So he picked him up off the ground. It's one of those.
That was the penny in the electrical socket moment.
Yeah. It's like, no, let him do it. He needs to learn, you know. But to that point, you know, it's interesting. Like all of these behaviors have to be unlearned at some point. And or you just kind of perpetuate cycles. So it's that is... Also, I guess one of the focuses of this show, which before we got our amazing wedgie chat, we should do the segment every week. we were talking about what you were doing to like, in terms of like what you learn over time and what you think is appropriate at the beginning of your physical fitness journey is no longer appropriate. Either you were wrong about something or you age into having to change something.
Yeah.
To get the result.
There's also, you know, science is always evolving, so there's always we're gonna find out new techniques, especially nowadays, like since sports science has been like so if you want to talk about capitalism, consumerism, how sometimes it does drive learning forward is if you want to keep selling magic products and magic pills, you're going to keep finding new ways, and you know you're going to sell a new program, so you got to figure it out. Or it's like I know we're going to talk about it a little bit, like reps in reserve and training till failure. Like you got somebody like old school Mike Metzger, where it's like he was one of the big proponents of training till failure. It wasn't just like let's do 3 sets of 10. It was like I'm gonna do 1 set, and I'm gonna lift as heavy as possible for as many reps as possible. And if you see like Mike Metzger back in the day, like he would do like leg extensions to the point where like he did so many repetitions and failed so hard that he was the last like 10 reps were just like. He was barely moving the weight at all with like the worst kind of partial. And it's like, you know, training to failure does have its place, but it's like, that's not productive. That's
right.
But at the time people were like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
He's a genius.
Let's all destroy our ligaments. Let's all do this. But it's like, then we took that information about training to failure. And then we did more research and we figured out the best ways to do it. And there's, you know, if you're training for strength versus training for hypertrophy versus training for mobility, whatever it is, like.
Yeah. Not everybody needs to max squat for their daily existence. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you work as a barista, you know, at no point do you need to like power clean 1,000 pounds. You know what I mean? Certain things are for personal benefit and certain things. I also don't think people talk about flexibility enough and how that impacts your old age. And when you build up these giant masses of muscle through exercising to failure, you're also kind of limiting your range of motion in your daily life, which also kind of is impacting you in some way negatively. So it's like you it's always, again, this spectrum, this scale, this trade-off of what we're going to do. So let's get into what we're doing now. What you've kind of shown me is kind of, because we are nerds and we love comic books.
Nerds.
I also think is a new thing where you're allowed to be more than one category of person. Like when I grew up in the 90s and you watch a show like Saved by the Bell, and there's literally the nerd, there's literally the jock. And then when it was like this revolutionary, amazing thing that Mario Lopez was allowed to dance.
Yeah.
He was allowed to dance. Oh my God, he can be more than one thing. Oh my goodness. It was like a big deal that Screech was a lady. It got to have a girlfriend, or, you know, because they showed these things in very black and white, very like singular presentations. And then that carries on into your life. Like, people don't realize that you're just like, oh, what do? What kind of person are you? That kind of thing. And now you can be a nerd and a jock not without being toxic in your masculinity, but still very masculine. You know, like there's all these kinds of like balancing acts that are learned like in these new behaviors. Millennials and Gen Z and all these age groups that are basically just marketing classifications. Thank you, capitalism. They are kind of breaking apart the stuff that, as when we were little, and you know, I'm a little older than you, but we're of an era where those walls seemed impenetrable. Like, you know, socially, it was social suicide to be, caught playing Magic the Gathering or Dungeons and Dragons. And now it's like the most profitable property on the planet, you know?
I remember when I was, I think it was in middle school, I used to go to the Books a Million, which was an old bookstore back in the day. And I would go there and I would, because I couldn't afford comic books and stuff on my own. So I would just go there and like read comic books in the bookstore. And I was, at one point I was reading like a Star Wars novel, like one of the, you know, Shadows of the Empire, whatever it was.
Sure.
And this kid walked in who was in my middle school, and he was like making fun of me for reading Star Wars. And it was like the most, like, felt the most embarrassed. Oh, no. Oh my God, he caught me doing a nerd thing. And then like, years later, when The Force Awakens came out, he posted on Facebook, like, oh, I'm so excited. I've been a Star Wars fan since I was a kid. And I was in my head, I was like, motherfucker, no, you weren't. Like, you made fun of me for Star Wars. But then I started realizing, like, he caught me in the Star Wars section, meaning he was going
he
to
was
the Star
also
Wars section.
There. Exactly. So that's, he saw me again, was so like, much of that. They teach you to hate yourself is the lesson learned, where it's like, there's that great episode of Freaks and Geeks, that show, short-lived, you know, that's lived on in cult status, Freaks and Geeks, where they're going to like the sci-fi convention, and their bully was like, oh, I like sci-fi too. You never invite me to sci-fi or whatever. And then it's like, oh yeah, everybody just kind of wants that acceptance, and they struggle with how to get it. And if you're taught the wrong paths, you know, you end up on separate paths trying to get to the same place, which is the sci-fi convention. Or to realistically, it's just to receive praise, like receive pleasure, avoid pain. That's like the human response, you know, like, it's pleasurable to receive praise. It's painful to receive, someone's hate or disdain or someone's apathy. That's almost even worse. But in this process of learning about things, I've also gotten older and had to accept certain things about myself, including the path that I was on cannot be the path that I'm on now, or I'm going to continue to injure myself and my health will be, you know, irreparably harmed through injury. And then you showed me this exercise, and I want to say that I don't want to say it's just because it's a Thor thing, but it was a how to look like Thor through this Renaissance periodization. What's this guy's name? Dr.
Mike Isretail?
Yes. So this gentleman, again, looks like your classic gym bro dude, shaved head, big fucking giant shoulders, huge arms, all that shit. And he's a full-on doctor. Like, you're allowed to be two things.
Yeah. In his channel, he talks all the time about like Dragon Ball Z and like Vegeta and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, he's a nerd. He's a nerd who just
absolutely. And what a time. Also, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. He passed away this week, you know, a couple days ago. the creator of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, creator of like the most iconic fitness icon in anime, like the guy who's the, there are literal arcs on this show dedicated to him just working out.
Yeah.
As strong as alienly, as existence will allow. He's shattering universes with how much he trains. And I think people don't realize how much of a motivation, well, we were just talking about it. Like media can be a huge motivation.
So many pros and gym rats love Dragon Ball Z, and they were probably got into physical fitness and gym culture because of Dragon Ball Z, where they're like, I'm going to train like fucking, what's his name?
Okay. Goku and Vegeta is the ultimate gym bro, like competition. Like one of them is the toxic masculinity, and one of them is the kind of like more wholesome masculinity of self-improvement, where there, it's like this constant battle. Like this one guy, he's like, I was supposed to be the strongest. I'm doing it out of like spite. And this, why is this guy stronger than me? I need to be stronger than him. Why is this? In a position of privilege. He was a prince. His planet got destroyed, but he was like royalty. He had this position of privilege. And then Goku's just like this like farm boy rat guy that just trained with logs and shit. And the full on, like, you know, no matter how much privilege you're born in, you can't be gifted a physically fit body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to earn it. So it's like this balance of Goku being this icon of self-improvement, and then Vegeta being this foil of like what can happen if it goes bad, but it was presented as like this kind of journey. And so many people I know latched onto that as like motivation to improve their physical strength, just being strong. Like the idea that if you can bench press 225, you're in the top 0.4% of the population. Something like that is astounding to me. Because at 16, I was doing that when I played football, and I was forced to. Like all of these things that like you're elite if you can build your strength to what's not a crazy degree. Like it's just not even like us like that. For someone my size, I guess I would say that it's unfair because I'm also up in a position of privilege being born with my genetics, you know, being as big as we are, you know, that is also privilege that I think people don't talk about. And also like the kind of ableist mentality of physical fitness has been kind of debunked a little bit too in modern day, where there's so much embracing, like the dude with cerebral palsy, that he is like now like developed into like this kind of bodybuilder, and he competes in bodybuilding and all that stuff. And he uses it's kind of like the motivations can come from anywhere. And it's crazy to me how many people have been motivated by
Dragon Ball. Like to that point about the guy with cerebral palsy, I love the videos of like old 90-year-old ladies deadlifting.
Yes.
Where it's like, you know, ageism says, oh, you know, all old people are supposed to, you know, knit on the porch, and this lady is fucking chalk on her hands.
Yeah. Just like throwing them back, you know, and you're just like, get it, Nana. Hell yeah. I love that shit. But yeah, that being said, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama, and what a motivation that it was. And like in so many ways that artists are coming out in like droves all over my social media of like how inspirational Dragon Ball was, how like, it, what an impact it made for bringing anime to the American community and to the West, and also just motivating physical fitness in such an interesting, like, who would have thought, you know?
Yeah.
Did you know the Mexican cartels called a ceasefire because Akira Toriyama died?
Yeah,
and they were all like, I didn't realize how powerful it was in Mexican culture, but it is like a big deal to the point where the cartels are like, time out. Time out. I'm sorry. We have to show a little respect for the, you know, like it's not even at, like not even close. Not even close.
There was like a parade in Mexico City where they just like walked out over the main street as like there was a huge parade like celebrating this guy's life. They all just came together.
He's a fucking hero, man. Amazing where that can come from. But specifically, like in terms of what would be considered nerd culture, like where all of these they're just stories and modern day mythologies like Star Wars and comic books and even like the MCU and all that stuff. The kids growing up with like, you know, watching Captain Marvel fly around and beat the shit out of people. You know, like all of these are serve as some form of inspiration. And without guidance, it can be motivated. Like bad habits form accidentally. Good habits have to form intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, like nobody's going to accidentally develop a habit of like, you're not going to look down and be like, oh my God, I needed a blanket. You know, like, yeah. But someone will be like, oh my God, look down and be like, oh my God, I gained 50 pounds. You know, like that, those are like differences in terms of like intentionality and inspiration. So it's interesting that when you send me this, the Thor workout, because who doesn't want to look like fucking Chris Hemsworth, this has kind of changed my thinking in terms of working out. Because I want to find the exact time, but he talks about this thing called reps in reserve, which you talked to him about. Can you explain that a little bit?
It's essentially a measurement of your intensity that you've put out. For instance, how many reps you have until you completely fail, until you can no longer get the weight off your chest, or how until you get your form is not what it should be. So you know. So ideally you want to stop one or two reps before that. It's actually not a bad thing to do it once in a while where you're just like, ah, I can't go anywhere. I'm half repping it, whatever it is. But the thing about going completely to failure is that you're going to get so much exhaustion in your central nervous system, your CNS, where it's like, you can't train the rest of the week. Like you'll be able to train legs once a week, and you did it and you crushed it. Congratulations. You can't walk for the next 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
But that means you're only going to be able to train legs once that week. So instead of going to complete failure, if you stop where you still have one or two reps left in the tank, you can do leg day 2 or 3 times that week. Mm. And that's going to give you more growth in the long run. It's also going to help your, you know, mental fatigue. It's going to help prevent injury, that kind of thing. Because you still want to challenge your muscles. You know, you don't want to end 5 or 6 reps in reserve, because then you literally have to tear apart your muscle when you work out. When you're trying to get hypertrophy or strength, you need to rip it apart so you can heal back up and it's going to grow bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you allow yourself those few reps where you can go back a day or two, you know, 2 days later or 4 days later, whatever it is, to work that same muscle group, even if it's, you know, you want to work your glutes for one day and you go to one rep reserve and you tear apart your glutes. And then 2 days later, you go back and work legs, but now you're working the quads instead. That's the main focus. You still want to challenge your muscle, but you don't want to completely destroy it where it's going to give you some sort of catastrophic injury.
Right. And again, this concept of like injury should be considered part of your whole body health, you know?
Yeah.
What it's done for me is, so the way that this workout kind of breaks down, it's a 5-day workout plan. And at no point in doing, you know, like I did the full week, I'm starting again today. At no point am I feeling like I used to, where I'm like get the Bambi legs after doing the leg workout. At no point was I feeling like I could not, like that soreness in your arms that you can't function later. Like, I'm no longer exercising for just the workout. I'm exercising for my life, if that makes sense. Like, if my goal is to make my workout as monumental as possible, then my workout would be different. Leaving the reps in reserve, I remember when I started, you know, like that whole initial soreness process of like being sore. What do you call it? The next NDS? What is it?
DOMS.
DOMS. That's what it is.
Delayed onset muscle soreness.
Which is, you know, in layman's terms, it's always worse the day after where you work out and you don't really feel it until that lactic acid has a chance to build up or whatever the inflammation is at a chance to activate. So like the reality of this workout I've never felt like I've pushed myself so too hard in any of these, maybe just in like the mobility or the balance of it all, because I'm doing a lot of the dumbbell stuff because of my gym limitations of what I have access to.
Yeah.
So I'm using a lot of dumbbells, which of course forces you to balance yourself and use all the other muscles to kind of keep everything in check. So you don't fall over when you're doing a lunge or you don't, you know what I mean? Like all that sort of stuff. And I've also incorporated cardio into it, but more like a real low impact incline treadmill cardio, like the 12-3-30 or whatever it is. Do you know that one?
Well, it's like the incline. Is it?
It's 12 degrees incline, 3 miles an hour for 30 minutes. And I've incorporated that into every one of these workout sessions too, because, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't get out hiking enough. I'm in LA. I got to do hiking. That's the LA shit to do. But also, the
like that style is, it kind of goes along with the failure where it's like that's steady state cardio, which is like you're probably not like going full blast for that 30 minutes, right? Like you're walking, you're doing like a good pace. You're not like marathon running, or sprinting rather, as opposed to the high intensity interval training where it's like go as hard as you can for 30 seconds or 45 seconds, and then you walk for 60 seconds and as hard as you can for another 30, where it's like, that's going to fatigue you to an intense level. But with that, you're able to, you know, you're still burning calories. You're still getting your heart moving and stuff. But also one of the things I find interesting about that, that workout, cause you sent me the plans like, hey, here's what I did today, which is great. Keep doing that. But what I find interesting about it is it's a full body workout, every single workout. So it doesn't completely fatigue any particular muscle to the point where you're not, like you said, you're not getting DOMS the next day. Cause it'll be like, I've seen it before where it's like you do pull-ups and then you do squats and then you do bench press and then you do whatever it is. And it's like, oh yeah, you're not going to exhaust your central nervous system on one particular muscle. And you're able to, you know, get the blood flowing to all the muscles, not just one.
Yeah, and to be fair, like it went in such contrast to what all my original learning of fitness, which was, again, when you look back on it, through not really educated methods of just kind of like traditional methods, which I feel like there's a lot to be said for traditional, for tradition, right? Yeah. Just like, This is what has worked forever. And if you stick to it, I'm sure you'll get the same results that they have all gotten. But in that, you'll get the same injuries and you'll get the same repetitive stress. You'll get the same, you'll teach that to the next person because that's the way you were taught. A lot of in the martial arts world, which as we do more of these episodes, we'll talk about that, because I did martial arts. And that's a whole other kind of weird, you know, world to think about fitness. But when I was working out for football, and again, as a child, I was squatting, you know, like every other day and benching max bench, like literally like two failure every other day as a child, as a boy.
Yeah. And
I think about like I putting up 305 as a 16-year-old
on
bench. Like I was weighing 290 at that point, but I my repped squat was 450. I think about also the question of the accuracy of the weights I was using. When I tried to do all this stuff later on in my life, I'm like, there's no way that as a boy I was doing this much weight. But like literally we had a what they called a lift-a-thon in my school, where it was a fundraising thing where whoever, you know, every pound you raised, they would donate a dollar, and everybody donated, you know, a certain amount of money for every rep. And it was a fundraising thing. Again, child labor. For religious reasons, but I put up. I remember like 305 was the max, was my max bench, and I repped out. Like I repped out to the point where they were like, "You're done," at 450. And I was like, "I don't at least 10 with more in the tank, like reps in reserve." And I was like, the only way I got there was through kicking my ass. Like they were like, I remember being driving home from school. This, you know, I had my truck. It was like a rite of passage as a kid, your first car, whatever. And it was always so excited. I remember working out so hard one day that I could not push the gas pedal, the brake pedal hard enough, because my legs were so like weak. And I was like, oh no, this is terrible, because I had physically exhausted the muscle so much that I remember one time trying to steer the car, and I went to go turn, and then it was like, oh no, I have to use different muscles. Like I had to like grab the wheel in a different way, because my shoulder and bicep would not push this way. So I had to be like, oh no, I have to grab and then kind of figure out another way to turn my friggin' steering wheel.
Were you actually physically exhausted, or were you just having a difficult time driving because of your post workout beer?
Yeah, also post workout beer was kicking whatever. That was, I still think about it to this day. Like, what, you know, I understand the concept where you're like, you a little painkiller, some carbs, water, you know, you're it feels like you're hydrating, you're not, and a banana for the potassium to get rid of soreness. Like, I get the rationale, but also I was 15.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, that is like, I remember when I was a kid, like Little League, I was a pitcher, and it got to, we were going to have our like little in network World Series, a little, just amongst the teams or whatever, but it had to get postponed by 2 weeks because I think that was Hurricane Andrew maybe. Sure. It came through and all the things, all the fields were flooded. We couldn't do it. Yeah. So it got postponed like 2 weeks. And then it happened to be that because it got postponed, everybody went on summer vacation because they thought the series was over, because it was, you know, it was supposed to be done by that time. So it was actually the playoffs and the World Series happened on the same day, and there were only like 8 members on our team. So I had to pitch on the same day, the playoffs, and if we won the playoffs, we had to do the World Series. And we won the playoffs, went to the World Series. So I had to pitch like 18 innings as a little kid. And by the end of it, like, my elbow was just like destroyed to the point where I couldn't play baseball anymore. And I, like, for like 10 years after that, it was like my elbow didn't work. And like, looking back, I'm like, I was a child.
Why did
they push me that hard?
I think now there's more thought about that sort of thing. Like, there's more, you know, attention paid to that. But there was a time where, like, I remember I was playing football. I broke my, or something happened to my wrist. I don't have x-rays, but I hurt my wrist and I taped up my wrist. I was the center. I snapped the football. So I literally just started going out there, and I guess I couldn't grip the ball anymore because I had hurt my wrist. I took a face mask right to the wrist. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll just use my left hand. And then they're all like, Mike, why are you using your left hand? I was like, I think I broke my wrist. And they're like, okay, well, go to the thing. And at no point did someone say, like, time out. We have an injury. Nobody cared. I was like, oh, swollen. I'll just ice it. It'll be fine. Meanwhile, it got big and black. It was all messed up. And it was just, it was one of those things where I was like, looking back on it, I'm grateful that that we're more conscious of it now and people aren't dealing with that sort of thing anymore. But also, like, I was a boy. I was a child. That's crazy. But let's get back to, so the reps and reserve thing. At no point did I feel in this workout that I was getting the same kind of like damage, but I'm feeling the same kind of progress, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my body is remembering. Also, muscle memory is happening. But my shoulders and traps have just gotten like much more solid. Not huge, but like they're very present again. And after a period of long inactivity, I feel like very similar things. But I'm not having the same kind of like where if I feel like I work out, that was my day. Like, I have to do it at the end. I used to have to work out at the end of the day because I was like, oh, I can't walk. All right. Oh, I can't lift my arms, or oh, I can't do this. And now I don't really feel that way. And I'm like, what? I would have killed for this kind of thinking 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love the evolution of how far we've come as far as our training goes, of the, you know, smarter, not harder kind of thing. Where it's like, you know, even, I mean, there are like, to your point about traditional things, a lot of them are great. Some of them are terrible. For instance, when people are like, oh, I saw this exercise on TikTok and it, you know, and they're like, you ever see a thing where they take the two plates and they put it together and they do this standing up and they're like, oh, this is going to be great for my chest. And it's like, do you know how gravity works? Like, that's, you're just, the only thing that's working your chest is pressing the plates together, and you can just do that standing up and not move anything. Just don't even use plates. All you got to do is push your hands together like that. You're getting the same exercise.
Right.
So if you wanted to work your chest, you got to do this. Like,
yeah, gravity works one direction, towards the center of the earth.
Yeah.
That is the only direction in which gravity can affect you. So if you're like, oh, I'm working out my chest. I'm like, I don't think you know what direction gravity, like, where is your chest? And what way does your chest flex? Like,
yeah,
little things like that where you see people, like, I always joke around that every generation thinks that they're the ones that discovered drugs and drinking. Like, every generation is like, yo, of course, these parents don't know what we... And meanwhile, like, every generation is just, like, debauched just in a different way. So, and when it comes to fitness, every generation feels like they're coming up with something. And you have to go through those learning curves, I imagine, you know, like, where you think, oh, yeah, no, I'm going to do this. And I think a lot of that we'll talk about in other episodes in terms of, like, supplements and dieting and steroids and things like that. Where, like, everyone, you know, because they're always looking for a shortcut. And I think it's good to start, we'll wrap it up here. But, like, I think it's also good in closing to say that one of the major things that I learned about in my fitness journey, and it's something that we talked about in an old Arnold Schwarzenegger episode of the Zeros on Heroes podcast, where Arnold Schwarzenegger has that quote where if you look at someone's body and he's physically fit or whatever, you know, nobody gave it to him. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot, everyone's always looking for the shortcut, but even if you would shoot steroids, even if you're taking supplements, even if you're coming up with some outlandish new scientific thing, you have to put it into action to get a result. You just have to. There's no two ways about it. And I think that that's something that has been incredibly motivational to me. So we'll end it with some motivation, right? We'll end on some motivation. For this next week, what are we motivated to focus on? What are we motivated to try? What are something that's on your mind in terms of motivation?
Motivation?
I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me start. Let me just real quick. Daniel Ruskin. Now in Colorado, right? You're in Colorado. Hey, I came here for the shortcuts. Get me jacked now, please. You'll have to subscribe and find out.
I would recommend you Google synthol oil.
Oh no, we gotta talk about that next. Oh my god, synthol oil. What a shit show that is. What delusional fucking nonsense that is. But man,
I would either do synthol oil or I would join Project X and the Super Soldier program.
We need some serums in here. Shout out to the Mike Contextualizes the Universe podcast, where we learned all of any super soldier serum is just semen, like it's just masculine. Just literally injecting masculinity into the world.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I co-sign that argument.
Yep. But there's no super soldier serum. There's no secret. Even with steroids, there still has to be an amount of work put in and focus, like to continue on like a medication regimen. And yes, those are, it is the freaky arms. Like, no, like, it's just so gross. Dando Rando. Awesome. Go subscribe to Dando Rando if you want to. The motivation, if your motivation is just to have freaky arms, synthol oil, but what are your motivations this week, Will? What are we talking about?
Motivations. I would like to catch up on rest.
Rest.
Have some clarity of mind without any sort of mental cloudiness. And I also want to continue working on my glutes.
What a perfectly well-rounded, balanced breakfast of goals. Now, I would like my motivations this week, continuing in my workout regimen to kind of commit to time commitments is a big thing for me. I work night shift now, so my sleep hygiene has become very important to me. And scrolling and limiting scrolling and all that stuff, and maybe like focusing my because now that we're doing all this stuff, I have to re-engage with social media and finding a way to do that in a healthy way. And also
spoiler alert, it's not possible.
Yeah, there's no healthy social media. There's no, what is it? There's no healthy consumption under capitalism, and there's no healthy scrolling under social media. So I think those are my motivations. But physically, we got a wedding coming up. My wife and I, we're going to a wedding, and I want to look good in the clothes that we purchased for said wedding. And also diet is going to be a big focus of mine for this week.
Nice.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do to get there? Give me two or three actions you're going to take this week.
To
improve your mind, body, or spirit.
I am going to make myself go to sleep at a reasonable hour. I am going to do more hip thrusts.
Right.
And I am going to practice my dear man skills to make sure I don't have negative thoughts.
Interesting. Good. Positive mental outlook. If you're in the comments, go ahead. Let's see what your goals are. Also post them. We'll share them as well. I am going to stick to a no carb, slow carb diet situation this week. Which will involve me meal prepping, which we're going to have, you know, meal prep and stuff like that for the next few weeks. We're going to be focused on that. And then I'm also going to come up with workflow templates so that I'm engaging with social media as a creator, but not as a consumer. To at least plan my consumption around things and not just doom scroll. And that's
called creating boundaries.
Creating boundaries, wonderful. And then I'm going to try and level up my chest workout. I'm going to add a little bit more chest workout to improve kind of my the shape of my chest is what I'm going to be focusing on, trying to hit it from all angles.
Doing the three heads, the clavicular, and the sternocostal.
Blink. That's my goal. That's the plan. Well, I think we had a successful, just lovely chat. I really am so happy to be doing this again with you. This alone is a positive thing in my life now that we get to like hang out and talk about stuff and joke around and have fun. Thank you for joining me again.
Yeah, man, this is fun. This is like the old times, except we're not drunk on $5 shot and beer specials.
Shot and beer specials at a soggy Creek in the Cave basement.
Which, by the way, turned into a workout club. Now it's like a boxing club.
What a positive transition for that building. man, thank you everybody who's watching this, and share this, and we'll just talk about improving your life through mental and physical health. We got a catchphrase. Just trying to look like you is the title/catchphrase. So hey man, if you see somebody and you want to point it out, you tell them, hey, looking good. And if someone comes up to you and says, hey man, you're looking good, what are you gonna say?
Just trying to look like you.
We nailed it. Oh my goodness, what joy. Thank you everybody for watching. Like, share, and subscribe at Zeros on Heroes. I think let me do this here real quick so that you can see what it is. It's at Zeros on Heroes on everything. I'm at Mike Merck et al, and you can follow us and share and all that, all those things. We thank you all for joining us, and looking good, just trying to look like you.